The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Good morning. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me today. It's a glorious day here in Columbus. It's the day of the Columbus Marathon. And actually, I think that got underway at about an hour and a half ago. So if you're out traveling around, you might want to go to the website and see what the route is so that you don't get detoured unexpectedly. It's a big event here for Columbus, and something like 15% of the field last year qualified for the Boston Marathon. It's actually now known as the Nationwide Better Health Columbus Marathon, and it's one of the top five marathons in the United States per capita to send qualifiers to Boston. So good luck to all of the runners and the families of the runners who are out there supporting them. Today, we have on the phone with us, we have Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan. And Dr. Buchanan was on the show with us last week, and he was nice enough to get up early in the morning. He's in Santa Barbara on the West Coast, and so he was nice enough to get up this morning and continue the discussion we were having last week about root canals, and we're going to introduce him or bring him on in just a second. But before we do, I'd like to get to today's question of the day. And today, it's kind of a political question. I'm not asking anybody to tell me who they would vote for, but it is an interesting. There was a survey done of dentists, and they asked the dentist which of the candidates, either Barack Obama or John McCain, would be better for dentistry. So as a dentist, which one would you prefer to see in the White House? So what the question is which candidate do dentists prefer and by what percent? Okay, so our number here is 821-1230. That's 821-1230, or you can send an email, and you can send that email to dentallyspeaking@yahoo.com. You can leave your answer, you can call. If you want to be on the air, we can put you on the air. Otherwise, you can just give your guess to my producer. We'll record it and give the guesses here during the breaks or right after the breaks, okay? So, let's move on to the topic then, which is root canals, endodontic therapy as it's known. And endodontics is comes from a couple Latin words, endo meaning inside and dentos, which means tooth or teeth. So endodontics is working on the inside of a tooth. And let me just introduce Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan. He was valedictorian of his class at the University of the Pacific School of Dentistry, and he completed the endodontic graduate program at Temple University in Philadelphia, PA in 1980. Dr. Buchanan began pursuing 3D anatomy research early in his career, and in 1986, he became the first person in dentistry to use micro-CT technology to show the intricacies of root structure. In 1989, he established dental education laboratories and subsequently built a state-of-the-art teaching laboratory devoted to hands-on endodontic instruction, where he continues to teach today. Through dental education laboratories, he has lectured and conducted participation courses around the world, published numerous articles, and produced an award-winning video series, The Art of Endodontics. In addition to his activities as an educator and practicing clinician, Dr. Buchanan holds a number of patents for dental instruments and techniques. Most notably, he was the first to introduce variably tapered shaping instruments for use in endodontic therapy, and pioneered a system-based approach to treating root canals. He is a diplomat of the American Board of Endodontics and a fellow of the International and American Colleges of Dentistry. He also serves as an assistant clinical professor at the University of Southern California School of Dentistry and at the University of California Los Angeles School of Dentistry. Dr. Buchanan also maintains a private practice limited to endodontics and implant surgery in Santa Barbara, California. Dr. Buchanan, welcome this morning. Thank you for being on our show.
Oh, it's great to be with you again. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. Are you a marathon runner? I'm just curious.
I'm not.
My future
Ducati
son
rider.
You're a what rider?
A Ducati rider. It's easier.
Oh. I give a lot of credit to the people that can go out and run that long.
My gosh.
My daughter's future husband, they're getting married in January, is running the half marathon today. Actually, he's run a couple marathons of late, and he just goes out and does it. I can't imagine that. I just give them a lot of credit. Now, I'm assuming none of those people running are in need of a root canal right now, because if they were, they wouldn't be able to run, would they?
There's no way.
No way.
It really makes the tooth hurt.
There's nothing like tooth pain to pretty much bring your life to a grinding halt. I happened to receive a couple pages from my answering service yesterday of people who have this absolute terrible toothache. They can't, you know, do anything, and actually when I get off the air, I'll be going in and taking care of them. So that kind of brings us to root canals, and, you know, last week we talked a little bit about the numbers of root canals that are done, who does them, and that sort of thing. And this week we want to concentrate on, you know, listener and emailer questions and comments. And so I have a list here of questions that we've received over the last couple weeks. And this one is, how long can I expect to be in pain and discomfort after a root canal? So I guess we'll jump right in. And what would you say to that?
Well, it depends on the condition that the patient comes in. If you have had half of my patients that need root canals have had no pain at all, their dentist notices it, that there's an infection in their jaw that's quiescent during a routine checkup, they come in and are treated and usually have, they have the kind of discomfort that you'd have, say, if you had a mole taken off of your arm, and there's a little suture there. When the anesthesia wears off, if you poke it, it's going to be a little sore. The first 48 hours is when it reaches a peak of soreness, and then it gets better every day after that. So teeth being, you know, in their function of chewing, they are pressed on. So patients need to be careful not to chew on anything hard. But post-operative problems from root canals, if they're done correctly, are usually something that just taking a couple of Aleve twice a day for 3 or 4 days will take care of. If you're one of the unlucky patients that is in the painful half of those coming in for treatment, you're going to experience a huge improvement in your symptoms. Instead of that constant pulsing, throbbing pain or extended pain to hot or cold foods, that discomfort is all gone and is replaced with the same slight to moderate sensitivity to biting pressure.
So are you saying if the tooth didn't hurt when you had the root canal, it's going to hurt for 2 days and then get better, and if it did hurt when you had the root canal, it'll be better almost instantly?
Right. The post-operative symptoms will be about the same for both cases, depending on how much inflammation is going on actually in their jaw. If they have a tooth that's simply hot and cold sensitive, which means the pulp tissue inside the root canals is inflamed, but that inflammation has not gone to the end of the root and made the tooth, you know, exquisitely sensitive to touch or bite on, they will have minimal post-op sensitivity. If it's a tooth that's the patient has waited and it's gotten worse and worse, and so it's also exquisitely sensitive to touch, it's going to take, you know, 2, 3, 4 days for it to get back to feeling comfortable.
Okay. Go ahead.
The big thing I want to mention is people's greatest fear about root canal therapy are most often the stories told about pain during the procedure. And for decades and decades, we've had difficulty in getting some of these very inflamed teeth numb. The more inflamed a tooth is, the more anesthesia it takes to knock out that pain transmission to the patient's central nervous system. However, one of the most wonderful advances in endodontic therapy is not actually in the treatment itself, but is in our anesthetic techniques. And today, there is no tooth that cannot be perfectly numbed. So patients patients should have an expectation in if they're in the right hands, absolutely no discomfort during treatment.
Now, what new technique are you using? There are several that I use. I'm just curious what you're using out there in California.
Well, back in the 80s, we started doing ligament injections where we would inject in the side of the tooth.
Right.
The reason we need these accessory injections, you know, we give what's called a block anesthetic to deaden the main nerve trunk, but lower back teeth have all these accessory branches of nerves that come from their cervical or their neck areas, and blocking the nerve trunk won't get all the tooth numb. So we had to give extra anesthesia to try to surround the tooth from these accessory innervations. And injecting into the ligament was one. That was a difficult technique. It took a long time. The next level, which was much easier, still a bit of a problem, was what we call interosseous anesthesia, where we have a little tiny device that after numbing the gum tissue, we spin it against the jawbone, and it a little tiny device penetrates through into the center of their jaw, and we just directly inject. And that was the first technique that absolutely got every tooth perfectly numb. But it took a little bit of doing. Today, it's pretty much a pharmaceutical answer. The use of Articaine with the brand name Septadont or Septocaine is an anesthetic that has amazing diffusion properties. It will go through very thick cortical bone. And so today, I just use a half or a full carpule of Septocaine right in the outside of the molar on the side of the jaw, and virtually all those teeth get numb.
Have you used the pump controlled, I think it's computer controlled pump, STA, single tooth anesthesia machine?
I don't do the single tooth anesthesia machine or use that, but I do use the wand or the CompuDent device because it meters a very, very slow anesthetic drip so that the pressure from the solution is not a source of pain during the injection. Patients love that. For upper molars, I find it necessary to give an infiltration anesthetic on the palate side of the tooth, and the tissue there is very tight and tough, and if you don't give it in an extremely slow fashion, almost impossible by hand, using the slow injection mode of my CompuDent device, after a little bit of topical anesthetic really helps. They usually don't feel it at all. So we can... Not only can we get the tooth numb so the procedure is comfortable, but topical anesthesia, getting the gum tissue surfaces numb, and with the slow metering devices, the anesthesia should be also, if not painless, virtually painless.
Now, what about, there are a few people out there, and I have a few of them as my patients, who the local anesthetic, even the Articaine, or Septocaine, does not work. What do you do for those people?
Yeah, that may be seemingly about 1 in a 50 or 100 cases. Then I'm going to go back and use the interosseous technique. I'm going to drop that little device through that tough, bony covering of their jaw. And then when our injection device is in the inside of their jaw where the bone is real spongy and porous, those people are always numbed virtually instantly.
Okay.
So, and I like the X tip.
Yeah, okay, you like X marks the spot.
Right, you pull out the two-part device, so you put it on a slow-speed handpiece, spin it through the cortical plate, and then pull the handpiece out. It removes a little central wire out of the cannula, and the cannula is left there with the hub, which makes it very easy to get
to get back in where you were.
Right, because
yeah.
We used the Stabident before, and it was very tough to find the little hole you penetrated the
Okay, well, that hopefully will make people feel better about whether it's going to be unpleasant when they actually have the root canal, and we talked a little bit about after the root canal. So we're going to go to a break. Remember, you can call 821-1230 with questions and also give us a guess to the question of the day, which is, as of a survey of dentists, which candidate do they think would be better for dentistry, and by what percentage did that candidate win? You're listening to Talk 1230 on What am I trying to say? Dunley speaking with Dr. Kvitkov. Forgot my name. We'll be right back.
You're always in my heart from early in the morning.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Jim Rome seemed to know what station he was on, so that kind of helps me a little bit. Now, we're talking to Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan, who is an endodontist, and he owns patents for dental devices that we use in doing root canals. He has a teaching center out there in Santa Barbara. He's very, very active in trying to improve the quality of root canals that are done in this country, and also the comfort level, I guess, of root canals that are done in this country. And so what we're doing is getting the benefit of Dr. Buchanan's expertise here and asking questions. We had a call over the break from Melissa, who said she couldn't stay on the air to talk to us because she's getting ready for church, but she is pregnant, and her question is, can I have a root canal even though I'm pregnant?
That's a great question, and the answer is different than most people suspect. There's a book called Peace of Mind During Pregnancy written by Christine Kelly Buchanan, the mother of my children, and in that she was a teratologist at UCSB. Teratology is the study of environmentally caused birth defects, and in that she discusses every single thing we do in root canal therapy, and there are absolutely no risks. The radiation risk is zero. When I first started talking to her about this, I asked her, should we put two lead shields on a patient? And she started laughing and said, you don't need to put any lead shields on a patient. We put those on to make them feel better, but there's absolutely no radiation risk whatsoever. People think of X-ray radiation as like a bullet caroming around inside their body. It just doesn't happen. It moves more in a straight line. Obviously, there's some reflectance on hard tissues, but they have evaluated pregnant patients that have had thoracic X-rays for diagnosis and then later finding out that they were pregnant and have judged there to be no risk to the fetus and at much greater risk. So in terms of X-rays, absolutely not. The second thing would be anesthesia, absolutely no risk to the unborn baby. Our post-op meds, the procedure itself, no risk. Our antibiotics, except for tetracycline, which would only cause staining of baby teeth when they came in, all the other antibiotics are safe. The only thing that we would shy away from is giving them non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen or Aleve in the second trimester. First and second trimesters, so we would go with something like Tylenol and maybe a codeine preparation for pain.
So did you say codeine would be okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Certainly. And then one of the things to consider also, and let me make one more statement. This is the science behind it. I think pregnant women owe it to themselves to only do those things that they feel comfortable.
Right.
So even if the science says that it's safe and you just don't think you're going to be comfortable, you need to make a decision based on your feelings. Then the last thing is, with that said, I hear often, I'm going to wait till the baby's born and have this root canal problem taken care of. The first issue is women's bodies are under a pretty serious assault when they're pregnant, and their immune systems can be compromised by these huge biologic effort directed towards developing the baby. And so we see a lot of gum problems crop up during pregnancy, and certainly endodontic infections probably, if it's unchecked, have a greater risk to their baby than having a treatment. The second thing is before their baby is born, it's totally self-contained. They don't have to wake up in the middle of the night. They don't have to get child care. The baby's inside there. They can go do whatever they want until the baby is born. Once their baby is born, especially if they already have another child at home, it's going to be enormously more difficult for them to make an appointment and get in for treatment. So I try to tell them, if you can feel comfortable about having the procedure based on the science being saying that it's safe, there is no more convenient time for you to have this treated than before you deliver.
Right. I don't think they understand, especially new moms, first child, they don't understand that, if you had, once you've had a child, you realize that it was a lot quieter when you were still pregnant with it, and you didn't need a babysitter. You didn't have to worry about feeding time. You just go.
And you don't have to sit in the dental chair and lactate.
Exactly.
Not comfortable either.
In our office, we do, just to make the person feel, make the mom feel better, we do put a couple light aprons on, and I'll also, to show them that they're perfectly safe, we'll take an x-ray film, slip a paperclip over it, and put it underneath the light aprons, so that at the end of the radiation, at the end of the procedure, when we're done x-raying, I can develop that and show them it's absolutely blank. No radiation was received by that film, which means none was received by their fetus. So, yeah, I do agree with that, but you're right, it is a perception. And so you don't
That's
want them
a great
to...
great question.
Yeah, I thought it was. But could you give me the name of the book again? Pain, Peace of Mind in...
Peace of Mind During Pregnancy.
During Pregnancy by...
You would have to find by Christine Kelly Buchanan.
Is Christine with a C or a K?
C.
With a C. Christine Kelly Buchanan, Peace of Mind in Pregnancy.
During Pregnancy.
During Pregnancy.
And it's out of print, but you can find it in libraries.
Okay, can go to the library and look it up. That's neat. Well, thank you for that answer. It is time for another break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this with your questions. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Thanks for joining me on this glorious Sunday morning, the day of the Columbus Marathon. And we are talking about root canals. I mean, what more pleasant subject than to talk about than root canals? And I think that's actually a topic that we covered a little earlier, which is Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan indicated that, unlike the perception of the past, root canals don't hurt during the procedure especially. And then after the procedure, maybe what, a couple days of discomfort, and the pills that are given to people, then they kick in and they feel fine. Dr. Buchanan, I'm just curious, without telling me who you plan on voting for, do you have a guess as to who, which of the presidential candidates you think dentists think would be best for dentistry?
You know, honestly, I don't.
No? Okay.
I'm going to go agnostic on that.
Okay.
I had one more comment I wanted to make in terms of patient anxiety and expectation of discomfort. First off, one of the things that patients will occasionally ask me after a procedure is, you know, how can you stand to be a root canal specialist? You know, who would choose to do root canals for a living? And the answer I've come up with is it's a great job because expectations are really low. So if you do root canal and somebody, you don't hurt them, they just love you. They're really grateful.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the greatest satisfactions of endodontic practice. But the second part of the comment is even when we're able to deliver this care in virtually every case with almost virtually no pain, patients can still be anxious. And dental phobias are usually acquired through bad experiences in the dental chair.
Yes.
Or maybe they've had bad experiences in other medical procedures, and they're not rational responses. We are not really in control of that. However, we can be treated in a way that lessens that. And eventually I've had patients who came into my office getting several root canals. We worked with them, and by the end of treatment, they had a faith and confidence that allowed them to sit in the chair and be comfortable. However, virtually all of those patients really need to have some type of sedation. In really bad cases, we'll bring in a dental anesthesiologist, give them an IV line, and you know, give them conscious sedations where they're almost unconscious. But usually, giving them oral medication like Valium or Xanax greatly enhances the procedure for them and also for the dentist. When a patient is really anxious, it's going to be hard to do a great job for them.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
For the patient, the dentist as well. One of my jokes is about that. Occasionally, about every fourth patient that I believe needs to have some type of oral sedation, we'll say, oh, I don't take any drugs at all. And, you know, the way I get them to take it is I say, well, that's fine. One of us is going to take it. I'll take it or you take it.
Good
response. We're not going to get through this procedure without one of us being calmer than we are right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I've actually done that.
And then time goes by quicker. They don't have that fight or flight dump of adrenaline into their bloodstream. Even their muscles relax so that they can open wide enough to do a good job. But I think that's one of the most helpful things I've done for my patients to ease their experience.
Offering the oral sedatives or the IV or both, right? Yeah. You faded off a little bit. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. You got so quiet, I wasn't sure. probably phone troubles. Anyway, I bet you that I have, Bill, we're going to get to Bill, who's on the line on hold here in just a sec. I bet that I have seen the worst phobia, case of dental phobia ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I've,
what would that constitute? Experience?
Well, when the patient came in early to take oral sedation, which would lead up to IV sedation. We sedate them sometimes so that we can give them the IV, because oftentimes people are also afraid of the needle.
Right.
And she came early with her fiancé. When we went to give her the drugs, she wouldn't take them. At first we thought it was because she couldn't swallow pills, so we have liquid. We got the liquid, and she wouldn't swallow that either. And that's when we learned she said she didn't want to lose control.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, well, that's kind of the whole purpose, isn't it, to make you relax. And I, before the day started, had loaded the syringes that I would be using for my IV, and they happened to be sticking up out of my clinic pocket. And she saw those, and she ran out of the office, ran out into the parking lot. And when her husband or her fiancé would get close to her, she'd run six or seven cars away and literally hide. This is an adult woman, about 26 years old. And every time he would get close, she would run. And I went out, and she would run. And my staff went out, and she let them get close. But as soon as there was an indication she'd be having to come back in, she'd run again. And it took us 2.5 hours of my staff, her fiancé, everybody giving her calming words, telling her everything was going to be fine, for her to even swallow the first pill. And then...
So the next appointment, you had her fiancé give it to her in her breakfast cereal without her knowing?
Well, we were actually talking about could we sneak it in her coffee, but we were both pretty sure that she would taste it and maybe only have one swallow, and then we wouldn't know how much drug she had. So we really pondered that. But no, it was we managed to do it that day. It put me way behind, of course, but I had to wait another 30 minutes after she swallowed the pills so that I could start the IV, and even that she resisted. But we got her through it, and of course, when it was going on, people, my staff, some of them were saying, you know, we should just tell her to go somewhere else. And I'm thinking, well, where's she going to go? Because I can't think of another office that would be that patient. And certainly a hospital isn't going to send somebody to chase the patient down, right?
No. That's a really sad thing. And was it because of a prior experience?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst part is there's some other dentists that didn't take care of the patient.
And right. But would you agree 2.5 hours, 3 hours from the time she came in to when we were able to start on her was pretty severe?
Pretty good guy.
Great results, though, and she's happy, and I've got some great before and after pictures and comments. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what, Bill? I'm sorry. Bill's on hold. We do have to go to a break, though, so right when we come back from the break, Bill has a question for both yourself, Dr. Buchanan, and myself, and we'll be right back here on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Take a smile, please. Stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And today we're talking about root canals, and we have Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan on the phone with us from Santa Barbara, California. And we have on the line with us a caller, Bill from Columbus. Thank you for holding, Bill. Bill, go ahead with your question or questions.
Hey, docs. I got a quick question about root canals. Basically, like my doctor says, I'm eventually going to need one on one of my teeth or tooth. And I was the rumor looking at the x-rays he was showing me, should I have multiple, like, canals or roots, or am I going to be charged per root, basically? Because it's going to be like $900,000, you said, for a root canal, and that was singular, so I was kind of worried I was going to pay a couple thousand dollars because it was like per canal, I'm guessing, a root.
So he told you it would be 900 or 1,000. You didn't really mean 900,000, right? Did you say
that? No, just like 900 to 1,000. My apologies.
Okay. Dr. Buchanan?
I was going to say fees are a little higher out there. I couldn't quite hear the question.
Sure. He said that his dentist told him he was going to need a root canal and a tooth, and he happened to look at the x-ray and see that there were what looked to be three or four roots or canals, and wasn't sure if his dentist was going to charge him $900 to $1,000 per canal or per tooth.
No, we will. Some teeth, like upper molars, have a variable number of canals. They may have three or four canals in most cases, and you may have a fee quoted that depends on whether there are three or four. But it wouldn't be you know, 900 times four. It would be, for instance. Maybe it would be a 900 if there's three, and more like a 1,000 if there are four.
So just a little bit for the extra canal or two.
Right. It's not the same amount again because you're already in there. Everything is going forward, and that fourth canal is pretty tough to find and treat. But it's not going to double. It's certainly not even going to add a third to the cost of most root canals.
So how do you know how to quote the fee if you don't know there's a third canal? I mean a fourth canal.
Well, I quote a variable fee. I just say it's going to be in a range of West Coast fees are more like $1,200 to $1,600, depending. So it might be a fee range, and really we just we try and get the procedure done as rapidly as possible, and we just look at how many appointments and how much time it was, and charge them according to the
So Bill's dentist gave him a range. I'm sorry. Bill's dentist gave him a range. He was assuming then that could... if he found that fourth canal, it'd just be the upper limit of that range.
Right, and the most important thing to say here is, don't be shy about talking, you know, to your dental office about exactly what's going on. You should have a written fee estimate. You should know exactly what's going on before you get treatment. And if you have any questions, I recommend any of my patients, if they have a question about my recommendations or the fees that I'm quoting, they need to get a second opinion. I think, opinions are way less expensive than having treatment done.
Right.
And getting another opinion or two is going to help you know more about the procedure. You hear a different professional's description of what's going on. Sometimes there are misdiagnoses, and you want to make sure that you get the root canal and it's not like a muscle cramp in your face or some other problem that could be treated without a root canal, but also you're going to get a fee range, and saving money on a root canal that's poorly done is really a bad idea, but doing your homework before you have the procedure is important. The advantage of having an endodontist, a specialist in this procedure, do your work, it may be a bit more expensive, but that's all they do all day long. It's going to be a more efficient procedure. I do think that we get a higher rate of success overall, depending on the specialist. That's not to say that there aren't a lot of general dentists that do exceptional work. I'd rather have an exceptional general dentist do my root canal than an endodontic specialist that isn't really paying attention. But for harder cases, specialty treatment is going to give you a better outcome. Over 100 cases, you're going to have more of those words.
Okay. So, all right. Bill, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
Do you have a guess on whether you think dentists think Obama or McCain would be better for the dentists?
Well, I have to definitely go with Senator Obama because each time he smiles, he has a really white and bright smile. So I'm assuming that, you know, he's a better advertisement. And also, he's talking about that universal health care, so I'm going to guess 60-40.
You think 60% of the people would pick Obama and 40%
yes.
McCain?
Yes. Yep.
Not going to give the answer quite yet, but actually, there is a one of the dentists that was surveyed responded that he felt that Senator Obama's smile would be a benefit to dentistry because it would give cosmetic dentistry a boost. So. interesting that you would pick up on that same thing. We'll definitely give the answer here later. Thanks so much for your call. We have to go to a break here soon, but before we do, I have a question here, emailed question from John, and it says, can you really do a root canal when my face is swollen? Now, we have about 30 seconds, and if we can't answer it in 30 seconds, Dr. Buchanan, we'll just come back after the break and finish up the answer.
That's a quick answer.
Okay.
And if it's an infection that is strictly in your face, the tooth is often more comfortable after your face swells up because the pressure's been released through the side of the jaw. Simply putting the patient on an effective antibiotic like Augmentin or clindamycin in 3 to 4 days, the swelling should be much less. In treating a patient that's not acutely infected, it's always easier to get anesthetic to work. They're in a less anxious state. So that would be my first choice. Sometimes opening a tooth up will allow some of the pressure to be vented. Sometimes we can make a little incision in the soft tissue and let pus escape, and they will get immediate relief. But I wouldn't be doing a full root canal procedure when they're in that kind of a condition.
Okay, so the answer is you could potentially have it opened up and maybe drained, or not, so to speak, started, but for the most part, you should be on antibiotics for a few days.
Right. Usually, once their face swells up, opening the tooth up isn't going to help that much.
Mm-hmm.
Opening the tooth up helps before their face swells up because the pressure is all in their jaw. And opening that tooth up and leaving it open allows a vent through the tooth. It will often keep their face from swelling up. But once they look like a football, I just medicate them. They may need to have some pain medication in the meantime. It's critical that patients know that they never put heat on the outside of their face because that will accentuate the swelling. You want to ice swelling.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. We do have to go to this break, and when we come back, we'll give the answer to Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. Stay with us. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
No,
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. And today our guest has been Dr. L. Stephen Buchanan, who is an endodontist in Santa Barbara, California. And before we go back to Dr. Buchanan, let me give out the answer to today's question of the day. In our survey of dentists, 70% of dentists think a John McCain presidency would be better for dentistry than an Obama White House. And the most often indicated reasons were to avoid the tax increases that they would perceive would come with an Obama presidency and national health care. So Bill had it completely reversed almost. It's McCain apparently would be preferred by dentists. And again, this is not, this is just a survey of dentists that we don't know. It's not me, it's not Dr. Buchanan, but that's what the results were. Now, Dr. Buchanan, we have about 2 minutes. And I'd like to give you an opportunity. Is there anything you would like to say to the listeners? Any last moment comment before we have to sign off? And if you hear the music playing, it means we have to sign off. So go ahead.
Okay. I think that the last comment I'd like to make about endodontic therapy is there's some who are so fearful of root canal procedures that they would rather have a tooth extracted and have a dental implant. And I do both procedures. I've been doing implant surgery for the last 2.5-3 years. And it's a miraculous procedure. When we can't save a tooth, it is truly an amazing thing that we can recreate that chewing function with an artificial root structure. But there is nothing that costs less, takes less time, and has a more assured aesthetic result than having a tooth saved with root canal therapy. It's a great procedure. The time it takes us to do an exceptional job of endodontic therapy today is probably 25% of what it took before. It used to take a half an hour to shape a root canal to an ideal proportion. Today it takes about a minute, maybe 3 minutes in a difficult case. It's the really the golden age of dentistry, and endodontics has done more than its fair share of marching forward with new technology and procedures.
Well, thank you very much for that. Really appreciate it. We do have to go. Tune in next week to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 with Dr. Kvitko.